Hello and welcome back to the Comics Roundup podcast, episode
seven.
Is it seven?
Eight.
Well, now you don't even know. Now
I think
we're
it was
just
eight.
Guessing.
I just listened to the last one today, actually. To be honest,
it is eight. Look at you.
Ah.
So you listened to Feminism, Feelings, and Flatulence.
Mm-hmm. I had two things to say, and I can't remember. One of them was when you guys talked about IGN, the comic reviews do suck.
Okay.
And there's another one, but I can't remember what it was about. I don't know.
All right, well, so in that case, it's episode 8 of the Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, June the 5th. We're recording this on the 8th, though, later than usual, because I came down with an illness.
Oh, are you okay?
I had shingles.
Shingles?
Delivered to my house, and the guy who delivered them gave me the flu.
And Rob was sick, too, right?
Rob is sick. Rob is sick. That's why Rob's not here, either. I'm Joey G, and with me, as always...
I'm Ryan Heth. Not always. I've barely been around the last couple weeks.
I know, because you've been a working man on the East Coast.
Yeah.
From the East Coast.
I don't like working.
I don't either. Mm. But you'll be able to pod now.
Yeah.
Because you're off at 6 on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. And I'll have money to buy things, too.
That's scratch.
Yeah.
Fat cash.
I got that money. Money. Yeah, yeah.
Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars. That was two black tag teams. Crime Time was Money, Money, Yeah, Yeah, and then Crime Time Plays.
Were you a tiny bit disappointed that the Usos went over
they're
pushing the Usos a little bit, actually.
Yeah.
And they're really good. They're good wrestlers. But
I don't give a shit about them. But
we're onto wrestling in a minute and 30 seconds. That's
mm-hmm,
a new record for us.
Mm-hmm.
Usually takes us way less time.
Oh, but Dr. Isaac Yankum DDS, this is the other thing. Dr. Isaac Yankum DDS was brought in as Jerry the King Lawler's dentist to have a feud with Bret Hart.
Oh, cool.
That's what I'm like 90% sure that's what it was, but apparently it fell apart in a month because it was Bret Hart against a fucking evil dentist. So they were like, maybe we should not do this.
All right, well, let's talk about some comic books. What do you say?
Mm-hmm. I'm into that. Oh, also, Glenn Jacobs also played Fake Diesel.
I knew that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to start things off a little differently because I actually bought two trades this week. You'll hear about one of them later.
Ooh.
The first one... is Pacific Rim Tales from Year Zero.
I thought about getting this.
Written by Travis Beecham, with art by Various, who is great. I love Various, personally. I think Various is excellent.
Travis Beecham's a screenwriter, isn't he?
Yeah, he and Guillermo del Toro created the movie. And the Various artists are Sean Chan, Yvel Guichet, Pericles Jr., Chris Batista, and Geoff Shaw.
There's one guy with like an Anglo name. And it's Batista, which isn't even like...
Geoff Shaw is pretty...
I think you said Joff.
Well, it's spelled Joff, but it's Geoff.
Okay.
So this was really freaking good. Like, it's all... It's not like it gives anything away. It's all just sort of background to before the movie stuff happened. So, because I guess the movie takes place, like, 25 years after the kaiju first arrived. Like, after the monsters first appeared.
Yeah.
So this starts... It kind of jumps around, but shows us stuff from... when the monsters first arrived, when they first got the robots going, or the mechs and so on. And it's really, really cool. Normally, like, movie tie-in comics do nothing for me, but this time I was like, I was already excited for this movie, and now I'm pissing everywhere in anticipation.
Because this is the Joey Wet Dream movie.
They're finally making movies for me!
You know, I kind of thought about getting that. I must have forgot when I went to the store, but I wanted to check it out because I'm really excited for that movie as well.
It's going to be the best. Did you see Fast and the Furious 6, by the way?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's so good, dude. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
I love summer because there's so many like movies I want to see come out. Yeah. Superman comes out on
I'm seeing it on Wednesday.
Oh, I got offered a thing to go to that, but I think I have to work. I'm going to see if I can get
Wednesday
off.
Isn't that your first day?
No, the Wednesday after is when I start.
It's like,
No, at this job, I'm going to see if I can switch my Monday shift with, and yeah.
Yeah, I got passes from somebody, so I'm going to go on Wednesday. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. The art is really good. The writing is well done. The universe is extremely... You can tell they really mapped out this universe well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that movie.
Dig it.
Cool cast. I'm going to talk about a book quick, too, then.
Do it. That's the whole point of the show.
I'm going to talk about a book that I picked up on a whim because I was like, hey, new creative team, and not years and years of continuity that I need to know.
Continuity.
Continue non-indigenuity.
And
A bit of an aberration for me. This is a book from DC Comics.
What?
It is called Green Lantern, issue 21.
What?
Whoa. Written by Robert Venditti.
What?
And with art by Billy Tan.
What?
I'm going to get really positive for a second.
Billy Tan did a really Bible-y comic. It was like the Jesus birth story, I remember it came out. I remember what it was called, but he did that.
was everybody clenching their jaw? Because that's what happens in this book. And that's all it is.
Bunch of like, clenched jaws. We have to shit.
But first, the positives. There's some cool ideas and stuff. And it's not a bad story, per se. It's not a great story, but it's cool. There's this kind of cool Larfleeze thing where he kind of invades the Emerald City of Owa. There's a little bit, I think, of stuff that I don't know from the Johns
probably
stuff that kind of would help, but that's okay. Nothing that I can't figure out because I'm a smart boy, or so my mother tells me. Now, the bad thing is the artwork is fucking atrocious. And, like, and here's an IGN review.
I have actually liked Billy Tan in the past.
I was reading the IGN review, and they're like, well, this book's okay, but the artwork is amazing. I don't understand. Like, they must be fucking Liefeld fans, because the artwork, some pages are great. This Larfleeze splash is really good looking. There's some, though, where, like, Hal Jordan does not stop gritting his teeth and clenching his jaw. He's taking a shit the entire, that's all I can think of. Like, it's so distracting, the whole fucking book, that I couldn't get past it. Like, I'm not going to pick up issue 22 because of it, which kind of is unfortunate, because I kind of wanted to expand my horizons a bit.
Yeah, expand them horizons.
Stop the negativity about DC, although they bring
DC
it on themselves.
Fucking sucks.
Yeah, true.
I bought a DC book this week, which we'll talk about next. Nah.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, some cool ideas, especially there's these kind of new lanterns that kind of show up because the rings go out and find them, and they're just little kids and they're just like, we want to go home. Meanwhile, there's like this big fight with Larfleeze going on, but you know, it was
well, the rings recruited children, brilliant.
Yeah,
I don't want to read that.
And that's about all I really have to say. Art was junk.
Did you hear about Marvel's adding another Avengers series?
The Mighty Avengers. You know what?
Written by Al Ewing and art by Greg Land.
That's my problem with it.
I like Greg Land, and I like the team he's got is kind of cool. You know, you got Luke Cage, the Falcon, Superior Spider-Man. We've got who
Blue
else?
Marvel,
is
I think.
She-Hulk, Blue Marvel, White Tiger.
Ronin.
Yeah, a new Ronin, of course, because what's a new Avengers book without a new Ronin? And the other character who was like leading the book, Monica Rambeau, who's been named a bunch of different stuff, but her new character now is called Spectrum.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of cool. I'm probably not going to get it, but it's still pretty cool.
I saw the teasers that they were doing for it, where they revealed like one member, and I was like, "Oh, this looks cool!" Like a Luke Cage, She-Hulk, Spider-Man, Avengers book. Like, I'm really into this. And then I saw Greg Land, and I just
I don't mind. I know a lot of people have a problem with Greg Land, but I still kind of like.
I like some panels he does. It's just I hate that smart-ass face that everybody seems to have.
Yeah, all the men look smug, and all the women look like porn stars. I agree, it's dumb, but.
But, I mean, his action sequences are really, really cool.
This is true.
So, I mean, I'll pick it up because I'm an Avengers fucking cum catcher, so.
Well, speaking of catching cum, I'll talk about the DC book that I still like, which is ending in two more issues, so thanks, DC.
Sorry.
Dial H, number 13, by Trina Mieville and Alberto Ponticelli from DC Comics. This issue was pretty sweet because the whole thing was about Open Window Man. Who is such an awesome character. And him having these conversations with these other interdimensional characters who are just like chalk drawings on a wall, but it's an actual dimension. And it kind of sets up the last two issues, sort of saying what's going to happen. And you can sort of tell that it's being forced to set up the last two issues to pay off the whole series when this was not even close to being the end of the book.
They have to go with a rush job ending.
Yeah.
Because nothing original can thrive.
In spite of it being a rush job ending, this was a really, really strong issue. One of the strongest of the series so far. Maybe I just really like Open Window Man. And also, you get the impression that Open Window Man might be like an alternate universe Batman.
Really?
And it's a very strong impression. Like, I think it's pretty much implied that he's the Batman of an alternate universe, which is kind of awesome.
I really, like, I'm going to get this book in trades.
It's worth getting.
Yeah, it's really cool.
The covers are amazing by Brian Boland.
Mm-hmm. The best thing about getting a trade is there isn't going to be seven fucking multi-page ads.
For Superman Unchained in the middle of every book? Yeah.
And then the Trinity War one. And there's another one.
Superman Unchained comes out next week. Are you going to get it?
I'm probably going to get the first one. I like Johnny.
Really? I'm not going to get it.
Really?
I'm also... That's funny. But I'm not really getting much... big superhero stuff anymore. Yeah. I'm not going to be getting Infinity. I'm not going to be getting the villains when they just announce whatever the hell it's called for DC.
The Villain Month or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, and they're also doing like an actual crossover event.
Oh, called
something or other. Yeah. But, and that's cool for those of you who are into it. I'm just not into it anymore.
I think I'll get Superman Unchained just because I like, well, I like both guys involved, and I picked up Adventures of Superman. I kind of liked it.
Which was great because it was real Superman.
I liked the artwork a lot more than I liked any of the stories, but the stories
were
good.
The Jeff Lemire,
Lemire story was good.
So good.
Yeah. The Lemire story was good.
Yeah, the Chris Somni art was amazing.
Yeah. I want that book. If that...
I just want real Superman.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, with his underpants on the outside and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not even a big Superman fan, really. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really care, but I'll pick it up. It's worth a shot.
It is.
That's my new mantra.
Yeah,
it's worth a shot.
A shot. It's worth a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Shot in the dark.
Because you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky said that, yeah.
Wayne Gretzky. Michael Scott. Have you ever seen that bit in The Office? Where he writes that Wayne Gretzky quote, and it's like got the dash Wayne Gretzky, and then it's all in quotations, and then dash Michael Scott.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, it's one of the funnier little bits.
Okay, well, I guess it's your turn then, bud.
Oh, my turn. I'm going to talk about this one here.
I read that.
Because we both read it.
We can talk about it.
I'm going to talk about East of West, issue 3. From Jonathan Hickman and Nick Durato. And yes, this book is beautiful.
And I want to give a shout out to Frank Martin, the colorist, because the colors really are what makes this book, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially like in the flashbacks, how it's kind of a duller kind of color palette. Did he use
a duller palette?
That's fair. That's can't even fight that. My one complaint about this book, Jonathan Hickman is like an expert world builder.
Yeah.
But I'm finding that 3 issues in, and I know it's 3 issues in, so it's still early, but, and Manhattan Project, he did a better job of it, but making me care about the characters.
I agree that this has been a lot of world building and almost no story.
Yeah.
I think it'll read really well in a collection, but I totally agree with you.
Yeah, like, and I mean, like, there is some plot continuation, but it's a lot of, this is how the world is set up. This is these super countries and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, it's a lot to keep track of, for one thing.
I find myself forgetting who a lot of the characters are or what they represent. But
absolutely.
But it looks so good that I keep buying it regardless.
Yeah, and I mean...
And I think once the first arc is done and you read it all in one sitting, it'll just blow you away.
And that, I'm definitely going to have to do that. The big reason why I really like this issue is because the back page was the Matt Fraction Satellite Sam.
Are you so excited for that book like I am?
That and what's the other one he's doing? Sex Criminals?
Yeah.
Both of them I'm in like...
I am turgid. That is how excited I am.
Okay.
It's going to be really, really good. And I definitely think that it's a great looking book, and he's building a really cool universe.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if like the second arc, or after you get past the first few issues, if it really picks up, because you're right, it is doing a lot of establishing the universe right now.
And
but
you know
it's definitely worth writing out, I'd say.
I kind of feel the same way about his Avengers run so far, which actually came out all...
I haven't read since issue 6 or 7, so...
It's a lot of universe building. Nothing seems like there's connections, but they're loose, and it's a lot of hopping between stories, it feels. Like, just kind of establishing who these characters are, what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. I'm assuming he has a plan, because everything he's done has been meticulously planned, but...
Yeah.
You know, and it's good, and occasionally you'll get, like, an absolute gem of an issue. Avengers this week was really good. I won't talk about it much, but it was very, very good. But, I mean, you'll get the occasional kind of miss.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
So, did you hear who the next creative team on Savage Wolverine will be once this Joe Madd story is done? Is that Wilson Joe Madd?
Creative team of one.
Yeah, Jock, writing and drawing a Wolverine book.
You know what? I became an adult and started my file this week. And I didn't put Savage Wolverine on because I was like, I like the Cho stuff enough, but I don't care about Wolverine, and now I'm going to have to put it back on for that.
I think, because I wasn't sure if I was going to get the Zeb Wells, Joe Madd stuff, but it's only 2 issues, and I really like Zeb Wells and Joe Madd. And then if Jock's after it, I'm like, well, I might as well just keep getting it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's continuity-free, it's just Wolverine stories, Wolverine. And it doesn't have to matter where they take place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that all comics should be continuity-free.
Yeah, I heard
that. I've been saying for years that fuck continuity.
Yeah. I just hate when they really play up that something's a jumping on point, like whether it's a point one issue or whatever, and you grab the book and you're like, okay, well, this is, say, a Green Lantern book, and then it's like, oh, well, there's this color, and they're doing this, and this corpse is doing this, and this is why they hate each other, and it's like, okay, well, now I have to go back and read fucking 8 years of Green Lantern books. Or just Wikipedia.
Honestly, just read Green Lantern up until the end of the Sinestro Corps War, because that was the best stuff of his run.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still good stuff after it. I would even say, if you really like it, read to the end of Blackest Night.
Yeah.
But after Blackest Night, I felt he went into a holding pattern that he never came out of.
Yeah. I've kind of heard that after a while, just he probably went a little too long.
I think so. I don't know if you saw this as well, but Dynamite is putting out a Sean Phillips art book in September.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm all like... That, but... I'm gonna buy that with my hard-earned dollars, dollar bill. Yeah. Thank you, Ollie.
I probably won't, to be honest with you, but I'll look at yours and it'll be cool.
I didn't expect you to.
I don't have money.
It's all right. Money. One other announcement. Then they announced they're bringing back Batman Black and White.
Ooh, really?
That's from DC in September, which was a really great celebrated series back in the day. Mm-hmm. Just. Different artists doing their cool black and white takes on Batman.
It was kind of like crime stories and stuff, right?
Yeah, kind of. It depends. So the first issue will feature stories from Chip Kidd, Neil Adams, Sean Murphy, Michael Cho, Joe Quinones, Chris Somney, and more. I know what a Chris Somney fan you are.
Yeah, I'm in. I'll buy that issue.
Yeah, I'll buy it too, because I'm a big Michael Cho fan, and Sean Murphy fan, and Neil Adams. I'm all those people fans.
I like Sean Murphy. I really like The Wake.
And The Wake was really good.
The Wake was really, really good. Mm-hmm. And a cool looking book, and it's not even my style because it's very scratchy. Yeah, that's the best way I can think of to describe it, but I liked it.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Cuckoo. Well, let's move on to me because I am great.
Yay.
You read this book too.
I did too.
Mm-hmm. The Superior Spider-Man number 11.
Yeah. With
Giuseppe Camuncoli, Dan Slott, and Christos Gage.
Mm-hmm. And I can kind of feel the assist on the script here.
A little bit, yeah.
It's a little more wordy, I think.
Mm-hmm. We're getting the major plot of this issue is Spidey's going to the raft to help watch the Spider Slayer get executed with Jonah Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all being superior and dicky, and then it was really cool. And the ending of the issue was great when the Spider Slayer manages to get his little ticky guys out there and power up the fucking Vulture and the Scorpion and Boomerang.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun. Cool little fight.
I really love Giuseppe Camuncoli.
Yeah, my favorite part of this issue was when, at one point, when Spidey says something to the Spider Slayer, basically, like, criminals can't reform, and then he realizes,
and
like,
oh, yeah, he kind of stops himself, and he's like, well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, and then he kind of looks, he's like, this is where I was in that cell. I liked it.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was really cool. I'm still just blown away by how good this book has been.
Mm-hmm.
So congrats, Matt, for Dan Slott, for still making an interesting superhero book in an era where very few people seem capable of doing that.
And on the plus side, pissing a bunch of stupid fanboys off at the same time.
Well, of course. You always got to have that. Hey, this book came out digitally, and I think you might want to check it out. Kevin Mellon written and drawn with colors by Crank, a book called Suicide Sisters.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a horror road book girl power kind of thing. It's really fucking cool. And if you look at the art, I think you'll dig it. Kevin Mellon is a really cool dude and good artist and whatnot. So I think you probably enjoy this book. I think you can get the first issue for a buck online.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it on Comixology or is it on his site? Or?
I think it's on his site. I think it's on Comixology. But it's totally worth checking out. It's really good.
Yeah.
Speaking of really good, that's coming out this coming Wednesday. Mm. Issue one of Simon Spurrier and Jeff Stokely's Six Gun Gorilla is coming out.
Mm.
Are you going to get that?
Possibly.
Dude, it's called Six Gun Gorilla.
And that's like gorilla,
like a
King Grodd gorilla.
This guy with he's got a gun.
Oh my goodness, I'm getting that.
Like, this was apparently an old pulp character that no one knows who created or anything, but it's so they're bringing him back for a miniseries.
Yeah,
it looks amazing.
After seeing those previews, I'm getting it.
Yeah,
because that looks
like,
because I was thinking like Six Gun Gorilla, like a gorilla fighter,
like a Mexican guy with a six gun. Yeah. I mean, that would also be good, but not as good as this.
That looks...
There's really no way around how good that is.
Yeah, I'll be getting that. I didn't know that was a thing.
So what else you got for me, big guy?
I have my
big fella.
Oh, you know what? I have one to talk about that I don't have with me because I had to buy it digitally. But I'll talk about it really quickly.
Do it.
Daredevil End of Days, issue 8.
Okay, I read the first 4 and loved it, and then somehow missed 5 and lost track of it, so I'll have to track down 5, 6, 7, and 8 at some point.
I highly recommend doing that.
I've heard that the end of the series was pretty incredible.
It was really good. I think...
Did they explain Mappone?
Yep. Yeah. And I think that might have been a bit of a letdown for me. I know a lot of people don't feel the same, but I think it might just be I feel most...
It was the name of a sled, right?
Yeah. Like, well, pretty much, yeah. Rob actually texts me. He's like, spoiler, Mapone is Latin for fart. And I was like, oh. I was like, I should have known that. But the reveal was kind of let down. And the ending was kind of a letdown in the sense that I'm just sad it's over. I think that's more
than
anything.
That's the best kind of letdown ending you could have, though, is one where you're sad that it's over.
Yeah. But the artwork, once again, incredible. And especially the painted art. Oh, my goodness.
All the Sienkiewicz stuff,
and there's a lot of it, too. Nice. And it is fantastic. A lot of it's like kind of the same painting over and over, but it's cool. Oh,
that's
good,
so
look.
Cool,
yeah, it was such a great book.
Yeah, I'm going to have to track down those issues that I missed because I really enjoyed the first four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how I missed the rest of them.
Yeah.
Probably when I was paring down my file, I forgot about stuff. And I'm stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, I'm stupid too, so.
That's okay.
You know.
Okay, here's a book you I think know. You will like, Ryan. Okay. This is from IDW Comics. It's by Chris Rayall with art by Drew Moss. It's called The Colonized. Mm. It is about... It's one of those things that takes place 15 minutes into the future where there's like a community in Montana that has basically segregated themselves from the United States government.
Yeah.
So they're completely autonomous and self-reliant and they have no interference with the outside world whatsoever. And it happens to be the spot where these bunch of aliens come down to make first contact, but because of all the pollution in Earth's atmosphere, their tractor beams and stuff go haywire and end up raising the dead. So now this town is overrun with like crazy militia guys as well as zombies and aliens who are teaming up with the good guys in this town to try and get rid of the zombies and save the town. So this was issue 3, and it was a lot of chaos because like the zombies are taking over and destroying the town. The plot is sort of continuing. You have the main bad guy, Rob Roy, who's one of this like fat militia guy, who's now planning to blow up the house where our hero and his family live with this trolley that they use to get around. So they load the trolley up with like dynamite and shit. And they strap the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms agent that they captured to the top of the train, and it's going to go off the rails and crash. Meanwhile, our hero and his sidekick and the aliens are in anti-grav suits, hauling all the armaments from the entire town in a coffin to try and go fight the zombies.
Oh, man. This looks... Why did I not know
this? It's really fun, yeah. And the covers are by Dave Sim, and they're amazing covers. But it's a really fun series. It's very like lighthearted, very tongue in cheek. It's not a dark one. It's just a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. I think there's only one issue left. I'm not sure exactly how many issues there are because it doesn't say number what of what. But I think there's four. I would be happy if there was more, but I get the feeling like four would be the logical ending point for this story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it is over, then I'll get the trade. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really good.
Like 100%.
I think you can get all the issues at Alpha still. I think he still has some. I don't know. I know I bought 1 and 2 on Free Comic Book Day because of the recommendation of Dr. Knott, the Juggernaut, Mr. Craig.
The part-time resident of the comic store.
Yeah.
he's there most days I show up. So.
Well, he's a good dude.
He is a solid dude.
And so there you go.
He knows Kurgan.
Yeah, you wrestled Kurgan all over the fucking world.
So he got me. I don't really have anything else.
Okay, well, let me hit the last one I have. And then, because Rob's not here and Ryan and I don't read as many comics as we used to, this is a short episode. Plus, we have to go get dinner soon. We're going to go for sushi, by the way, if you want to come.
Okay, I have to get back in town.
Okay.
I have to give my 2 weeks into my... Well, two weeks. I have to give my week notice into my... Yeah, it's going to be awkward.
Oh, well. Okay, so my last one before our picks is from Image again. J. Michael Straczynski and Ben Templesmith, 10 grand. Okay, I finally caught up with this book. This is the best fucking comic. I love this book so much.
I didn't buy the first issue.
It's a great concept.
I had to buy like a month's worth of comics.
It's very noir.
So, and I thought about getting it.
So our hero charges 10 grand to do like detective work.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he charges 10 grand is it's just enough that the weirdos and yahoos and looky-loos won't bother you.
Yeah.
So it's enough that you have to be taken seriously. The other cool thing is he has died multiple times. But along with his wife who died, and every time he dies, he gets to spend 5 minutes in heaven with her before being reincarnated to do the work of these angels to work off his debt to society because he was a hitman for a long time, basically.
Oh, really?
So he ends up getting brought back to life to deal with shit, and a lot of the cases he's dealing with are very occult in nature and demonic, and so there's lots of demons and shit running around and explosions and fire and. Oh, and Ben Templesmith's art works so good for like a hellish noir detective. So it's like one part Constantine, one part Fell, one part Near Death. It's really, really good.
You know what I think I did?
Such a good hook.
I think I did something silly.
What you did?
Because I think I remember hearing you talk about this on the podcast.
Rob maybe did, because I hadn't read it yet.
Yeah, okay. And I remember hearing you guys talk about chin music. And I bought and I remember wanting to buy one and not the other. And I think it was 10 grand that I wanted to buy.
You would
chin
like
10
grand so much better than chin music.
I didn't mind chin music,
I
but
like
it
chin
was,
music, yeah.
It was,
but 10 grand, I actually have to admit, I like better than chin music. I've only read one issue of chin music, and I'll buy anything Steve Niles puts out. Actually, next week, Steve Niles has a new book called Breath of Bones with Dave Wachter, I want to say. Looks really good.
Yeah. I'm gonna have a big week next week. Yeah. Oh, God.
That's okay, because we had a short, small week this week.
Yeah,
well,
true.
Only 25 minutes in, but I'm hungry.
Wait,
so, let's
we,
do...
We can,
comics!
Shut up!
Okay.
We can vamp for a second.
So
the Oilers fired their coach today.
Did they?
Apparently.
Who was their coach?
Ralph Kruger. Freddie's cousin.
Oh, yeah.
He was the national coach of Switzerland. He wrote a self-help book. He's like
a hockey team.
No. He's a motivational speaker for
didn't
Fortune 500 companies. And then now he's gone because he was a nice guy or something. I don't know. That's all I can think of to talk about. This literally happened like right before I left my house too, and I was like, no way. And then I was like, okay. actually, there's one comic thing I did want to talk about.
Okay.
And it's because it's sitting right here. Half Past Danger.
Yes, I finally bought issue one.
I picked up issue one. You are in for a treat, my friend.
Yeah. I flipped through it. It looks pretty good.
Yeah. Nazis.
Dinosaurs
and like an
Spies
Indiana Jones trope.
It looks pretty good.
It's maybe my favorite book of the year.
Wow.
So
high praise, sir.
And
cool.
The second issue comes out this week.
Is it?
Yeah, but I don't think I'm gonna get it this week. I might get it a couple weeks late because I just started my file. But I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably just buy two issues because it's worth it.
Cool.
It's the cool. Actually, my issue coming in is a subscription variant too, so maybe I have a
relatively large week this week coming up, I believe. Really? I was looking at some of the books coming out, and I'm mm-hmm. getting a bunch of these.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Oh, boy.
Okay, fella, it's time for
my
favorite. Ryan, what was your favorite comic this week?
My favorite comic this week was Half Past Eight. No.
That didn't come up, but you handle that.
But it was still better than anything came out ever. No, my favorite this week that came out this week was Daredevil Dark Knights, issue 1.
This is the Lee Weeks book.
This is
right?
The Lee Weeks, written and drawn by Lee Weeks.
Cool.
Because I can only see one person, I'm going to say a second. Lee Loughridge on colors.
The color? Yeah.
Because the colors are really good in this book, too.
Looks good.
Basically, it's a story of a snowstorm hitting New York. And at the start, you kind of see Daredevil just buried in the snow. And then there's two interconnecting stories here. One of this family who's going on vacation get into a car accident. Their little son dies, basically.
Bummer.
But they say, we'll give his organs away for a transplant. Meanwhile, Daredevil, he falls asleep at the office, gets hit with a baseball bat, and because he can't see much because there's so much snow coming down, it interferes with him, and loses his memory for a second. And then...
Just a second?
Yeah. Pretty much, like two pages.
So it's like a sneeze.
Yeah. He's like, shoot, what? Who am I? Oh, right. Anyways, so once he figures out who he is and whatnot, basically just the story is he's going to make sure that this little boy's organs get taken to where they need to go to help this little girl who will die if she doesn't get an organ.
Oh, wow.
Because she must like playing a piano-like instrument.
Hmm.
That's my organ joke.
That's cool.
No, but it was really cool. The Lee Weeks stuff is really, really, really great. Like,
nice.
The artwork, good lord. He does some really cool things in here. You don't even really see Daredevil either until, like, the last two pages, I think. But, yeah. Just some really cool, like, layouts, panel layouts and whatnot. Yeah, it was really, really good. I kind of picked it up on a whim. And, I mean, this is another eight-issue series, but apparently... Lee Weeks is doing three issues, and there's somebody else doing two, and then there's somebody else doing three, I think is how it adds up. So it's kind of just short stories, and it's cool.
Did you hear that Mark Starr died?
Yeah.
WCW wrestler?
Yeah, I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, he used to be in a tag team with Chris Kanyon.
Really?
Man at Work.
Kanyon died too, didn't he?
Well, he died a while ago, yeah.
Kanyon was one who claimed he was held back because he was gay.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, especially in WCW. Because, you know, they were known to have one or two problems in their day.
In the bookers?
Yeah, in every facet of that organization. Unless you were a guy who worked there, then you were always right and everybody else was wrong. You ever notice that about WCW guys? They're always slighted by everybody else.
You know who else is like that? Mm. A lot of ECW guys.
You know who's like that? A lot of wrestlers. Wrestling is like this crazy business where everybody's right. They're right and everybody else is wrong. It's strange.
Well, my favorite comic this week is actually a collection. I bought two trades this week, and my favorite one is the first omnibus of Lone Wolf and Cub by Kazuo Koike and Goseki Kojima from Dark Horse.
You've been practicing your...
I just watch and read Japanese. A lot of Japanese stuff. But
fair enough.
I had read some Lone Wolf and Cub before. This is one of those like beloved up on a pedestal mangas from history. Like any like action comic you've ever read has been influenced by this. Frank Miller does the covers for this. As you can see.
That's cool.
And it was him who originally brought it to North America, I think, and did covers when Dark Horse was originally reprinting it back in the day.
Okay.
And you can see why it's so renowned, because it is gorgeous and the action is incredible. Like, the storytelling beats of these intense action sequences. I was going to show Ryan a particular splash page. It floors you. Like, I am blown away by how good this book is. Like, look at that two-page spread.
Who?
Of the fucking assassin killing a bunch of dudes. It's just the energy and kinetic pacing. It's so intense.
That's line work done right.
Oh my god, it's gorgeous. And this trade is only $19.99, and it is over 700 pages.
It's the size of four Bibles.
It's big. Originally, Dark Horse put these out in really tiny little digest kind of things, like about half the size of this.
Really?
And I had a few of them, but they've been out of print for years, and I've been picking them up when I could find them at conventions.
Yeah.
But now I'm just going to throw the whole schwack of them up online.
Yeah.
And just keep the omnibus, because the second one comes out in September, and it's a really nice format, great package, and one of those like seminal works in comics history that you kind of have to read if you call yourself a comics fan.
Hmm.
You filthy fucks.
I haven't read it, so I am so unqualified for
it. So that was my favorite.
That looked really cool. I might actually.
I've been reading a lot of manga lately, actually. I'm on volume 8 or 9 of this manga called Monster by Naoki Urasawa, I think his name is. I don't have it in front of me, so now I'm just going from memory. Yeah, Naoki Urasawa. Wow, good job, Joey.
The only manga I've ever read.
Red? Dragon Ball Z,
yeah.
It's a fantastic manga by Akira Toriyama. But no, Monster is amazing.
Shonen Jump.
Yes. I've read that Monster is being adapted. It has the pilot written for an HBO series.
Oh, really?
Adapted and written by Mr. Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, so that's why you're...
So that's why I was like, I should probably read it. And then I also discovered that he's written a few other manga series that I've been told I need to read. And I'm like, oh, that's the same guy. And his art is amazing. Like, his character designs in particular are so good and so unique. It's really good as well. But my favorite this week was Lone Wolf and Cub.
Okay.
So maybe another week it'll be Monster.
Wasn't Monster already a movie with Charlize Theron? That was my joke. Oh, Ryan.
Yes, it was, Ryan. It was a different movie.
Where she didn't wear makeup and everybody's like, it's shocking. That's all I remember about that movie.
Yeah, she was playing Aileen Sorkin, I think the character's name was. She's a real person, Ryan. A real lady.
Ex-wife of Aaron Sorkin.
I don't think that's true.
And it is for this show.
Interestingly, there's the woman who was the original voice of and inspiration for Harley Quinn is named Arlene Sorkin.
Also, Aaron Sorkin's ex-wife.
Not true.
Absolutely.
We keep making shit up.
How many Sorkins are there in the world?
Enough that they're not all the same family. That's going to wrap us up this week. Jesus Christ. For a very short version of the Flash Fact. I keep saying Flash Fact. It's not that. Also, I forgot. We were supposed to... originally, we were going to record this on Thursday night and just call Rob, who was sick, to see what his pick was. And we had a whole plan worked out of what I was going to do. Like, I was going to hang up on him while he was halfway through it. It was going to be so funny. And then I got really sick, so I didn't do it. So I'll just announce what Rob's favorite was.
Mm-hmm.
It was Astro City.
Was it? I thought about picking that up, but I don't know.
I kind of wish I had now, because everyone's told me it was amazing.
Yeah.
But I haven't read any of the old Astro City stuff.
That's what I was...
Which is another one of those seminal works that we're dickheads for not having read.
It's Kurt Busiek, isn't it?
Yeah, Kurt Busiek.
Like, he does a lot. He's done a lot of really cool things.
I think he's done, like, 50-plus issues of Astro City prior to this.
At, like, 7 different companies.
I think so, but still, creator-owned Kurt Busiek.
He was what? It started at DC? No.
It's been a Wildstorm.
Wildstorm,
eventually DC
Image.
Bought Wildstorm.
Yeah. Wildstorm, Image, and Homage. I think was the three homage.
There's an homage comics?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's Mirage comics.
Maybe it's Mirage. I thought it was homage. It's something Aj.
We live in the era of the fucking internet. I could just look this up and we wouldn't have to keep guessing and saying homage.
It's fun to say.
It was originally published by Image. Mm-hmm. And then it was published by Homage, you're right, and then part of Wildstone. So we did name all three of them.
Yay!
Good job, us. But yeah, it was Image, then Homage, and then Wildstorm, and now Vertigo.
Now Vertigo, yeah.
So that's cool. Other books from Homage. Cool. Red by Warren Ellis was from Homage. Strangers in Paradise. All the books that came out from Homage, I fucking have. I'm a dickhead for not knowing that.
Red, like the...
Okay, Homage was actually an imprint subdivision of Wildstorm.
Ah, okay.
So there you go.
So it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then in the summer of 2004, Homage was merged with Cliffhanger to form Wildstorm's signature. Mm. And then Wildstorm just fused with DC when Jim Lee became the Master Chief.
Overlord.
Yeah.
You know what? His Fat Man on Batman with Kevin Smith was really interesting.
Greg Capullo was on it this week.
I'm like halfway through it.
Is it good?
It's very good. He's a different dude and he's had a weird life.
Really?
Like a tough life. Wow. He talks about his childhood a lot. It's kind of tough. But he's a different guy. He's got that really thick accent.
From New York. He's a New Yorker. Greg Capullo.
He's from that place that I can't pronounce, but it was a Philip Seymour Hoffman movie.
Synecdoche, New York.
Synecdoche.
I'm from Synecdoche. Yeah.
I was
doing there, Kev Smith.
I was going to say
I was going to draw Batman. And then I did. So fuck you. And fuck you too.
See, this is kind of a combination between Greg Capullo and Dan DiDio.
Dan DiDio here. We're going to do our best to drive DC Comics into the ground. Because we don't like comic books.
Okay, now do Pacino. Ooh, more margaritas.
Come on now. All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week, hopefully with Robbie G in tow. Until next week, I'm Joey G.
I'm Ryan Heath.
I love you. Love you, bye.
Thanks.
Not you, the people.
I know.
I love you too, though.
I know.
Yeah, I love you, bye.
Star Wars.